NIH pays some, NSF pays even less. And then the second part is our educational system does not usually pay for itself by student fees. So here you can see, if you take that as one again and then look at the cost, you can see again the teaching margin is a negative 20 to 30%. So if you understand in terms of the missions that are important for us, patient care, education and research, pretty much at every organization, although it may vary depending on state subsidies and so forth, we tend to underfund research and education, and the deficit is made up by transfers from the clinical operation or transfers from the state or from the endowment and others. And so one has to think about that in terms of the viability of the whole enterprise. And at the University of Pennsylvania and many other medical centers, this transfer of money internally between clinical operation, practice plan, hospital margins to education and research should be done, if it's going to be done effectively, by a formula that everyone can understand and is transparent, because that allows people like the chairs and students, faculty and senior leadership to agree about how one should transfer money in terms of the importance of these other missions for the institution. And so we've made a number of principles. Money is transferred from the clinical operation when it became successful to teaching, research, and a variety of clinical support that wasn't fully funded. Again, each organization needs to think internally of its own finances, but many of these principles apply to all. So having said that, what are the things that really ensure success? Well, they are difficult, but in a sense, enormously simple. And again, I've used these slides with the chairs and faculty as we've gone through year after year, trying to be sure that everybody transparently understands what's important in our organization and how we may go forward together in terms of shared unified goals. Well, first of all, we need the revenues to be greater than expenses. You'd be surprised how often faculty don't agree with this. I say that only partially in jest, because they say what's important is how much salary we have, which is of course important, what equipment we have, what kind of technicians we hire, what we do in terms of this or that. And then you might say, well, we don't have enough money for that. So then they say, well, that's your problem, Dean, not mine. And I try to say, no, that's all our problem, because here we have to agree that internally we generate more money than we spend. And the second important thing I try to ensure with them is we need to be able to renew our plans. This is really, really important. For us to remain competitive, we can't allow our facilities to run down, our equipment to age, the opportunities for teaching students not to be competitive and so forth. And so we made an agreement when I came that as soon as our finances improved, we would try to spend 150% of depreciation on renewal of our plans. We've done that quite well in some years, and others we haven't been quite successful and have been down to our depreciation. But in general, we've tried over the years as hard as we can to renew every year some part of our plant and equipment and space and so forth to keep us competitive in the environment. This is pretty invisible to faculty and chairs often, who think that money for renewal of a hospital or a clinic or equipment comes from some other source like in the heavens or so on. But it is really important for us to really educate everyone on our team that this is a critical part of our success going forward. And the final thing then is some simple understanding of a balance sheet that chairs and faculty really do need to understand, agree to, and participate in. And over the years, having started with a very challenging situation, by repeatedly bringing this forward, we were able to improve our fixed assets, our financial assets, our margin in the hospital, and our transfers to a variety of our missions. So what I try to point out to you